Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and happy holidays. Welcome back to the Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio with Vivian Kelly and Ruthie Munoz.
Hello, and welcome back to the Reborn Identity. Hello out there. Hopefully everybody is hearing what I am hearing, which is a lot of the cash registers going and a lot of the slipping of the card. The clock is ticking and the holiday seasons are just coming to a close. And the new year enters. Are you ready for the new year's? Well, I'm barely getting there. Tonight, our lovely host, Ruthie Munoz, is out sick. Our prayers are with her as she begins the process of healing. So we will continue to pray for her. Well, I'm so glad to be here once again this week and focusing on what God has done on all of us and checking in tonight. You know, there was a sermon that I heard this weekend that really touched my heart. As we all know, the reason for the season, and this is Christmas. And we know that Christ's beginning began in a manger over 2,000 years ago. This weekend sermon was about divine chaos and how it prepares us. Yes, there's such a thing as divine chaos. And what I'm mentioning about divine chaos, what I was hearing from the sermon this weekend that touched me was the whole entire process as to how Jesus came into this earth, born from a virgin, to restore the relationship that we lost with him, because he's always had that relationship. In fact, if you look at the beginning of time when Adam actually was running away from the Lord and he was looking for him, if you look at that story, Adam literally ran away from God as we continue running away. Well, what Jesus' birth really means to all Christians, should mean to all Christians, not that necessarily that all Christians believe this, but we do believe that he did come as a baby in swaddling clothing in a manger, born to a virgin. Now look at the whole entire situation. We're talking about a virgin. The husband, Joseph, to be, wanted to put her away. Now, the way the pastor said it this weekend was really interesting. Now, it would make any of these talk shows, like the I think it's the Povich program and other programs that have these dysfunctional relationships on air. And if you really look at the drama in the Bible, Joseph is trying to think of how to put his soon-to-be wife, possibly, away to get divorced, to not even get married because of the fact that she's with baby. You don't know who the baby is. Supposedly, a man came to her, the angel Gabriel, came to her, and she became pregnant. Did not know man, as we know what that means. She was not intimate with anyone. And just the thought, what was running through his mind. Now, that's divine chaos, really. Now, Joseph really didn't come from the best lineage, if you understand what I'm saying. David, the adulterer, King David, he was the adulterer and a murderer. Rahab, the prostitute, and the list goes on. But the Lord knew what he was doing. And it made me see the Christmas story or the birth of Jesus Christ in a different perspective. And to me, that is it was in a human factor. It was like, wow, all these things were going up against Joseph and Mary already. But look at the outcome. And that is how we as Christians should look at Christmas. Forget about the Christmas tree, the credit card bills that will be run up by overspending. Hopefully not. The candies and the toys, all those things. When you start really looking at the true story of Jesus Christ, where does that leave room for Santa Claus? Where does that leave room for anything that we have right now? Jesus Christ, a name that is not as desirable to the masses as it should be. The only reason we actually see Christmas now is because it's so commercialized. Christmas. Christ is in the name of Christmas. But are we focusing on the true reason for the season? And what other things that I kind of started thinking is the Savior is born, and yet it seems like Santa Claus has taken precedence in what should be a time to reflect on the Savior's birth. Without the Savior's birth, we would not have a sacrifice. He first had to come and be part of us so that he can learn about us more and we can learn more about him. He already created us, so he already knows about us, but he wanted to fellowship with us, to walk to Calvary and to die for my sins, to die for your sins. So this Christmas, I didn't want to, as if you've been following up, Ruthie and I, we didn't want to really focus on Christmas because it's kind of like a bummer in a lot of sense, you know, for a lot of people. For me, it's not so much, it was more of, do I really want to focus on the materialistic side of Christmas, or do I want to focus on really why did Jesus do it for me? It really gave me a different perspective, really did. Chaos, divine chaos. Yes. All those things had to happen so that it could be a preparation for us to be redeemed by the Lord, by Jesus Christ, through the cross. And I just kind of, I'm sad that we don't reflect more and more on that process, the whole entire process from his birth to his death. Jesus Christ, really, it was because of him that we have a day to remember. Now, we don't know whether it was December. We know it wasn't December. Most Christians know it wasn't December, and I'm not here to debate that or to make this into an argument. But we know that over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born, and his name was Emmanuel. And he came to set us free. And free, indeed, we can be if we choose to have him in our life. So I'm hoping that each and one of us take the time to literally think about why he did it for us. And because he did it for us, we should be indebted to him. But he doesn't want us to be indebted. Jesus Christ wants us to love him for what he's done for us at the cross. Well, tonight is going to be a wonderful evening. We have Susana Velasquez is going to be on our show tonight. She's actually an actress, an awesome actress. I have met her several times. In fact, I met her on a project a couple of years ago, and that was in 2008 on the 168 Project. And to me, I thought she was an awesome woman, and she's a stunning beauty also. And how she articulated, she was so focused and she was determined. I'm like, wow, you know what? This really is a godly woman. And the more I got to kind of speak with her briefly, ongoing, I see how she is behind the scenes in front. And as we know, that the Reborn Identity basically focuses on finding individuals, Christian individuals, who really are committed to Christ, who are living Christ's character in their daily lives and are impacting those around. And last week, of course, if you didn't know and you didn't tune in, David Massey was talking about creating movies that matter through his ministry. And it's time that we start focusing on the Holy Spirit to mold our character so that we can actually take our characters, use our characters to bring others to the foot of Jesus Christ. So our characters, if it's molded by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we will reflect Jesus in everything we do, whether it's at work, school, whether it's at church, and specifically at church, but even in our private life, when no one is watching us, what are we doing with our life? Do we have a reborn identity? And does it reflect that of Jesus Christ? You know, it's funny, I was talking to a current pagan witch who said something to me that just struck me. She says, "We laugh at you Christians because you don't really follow Christianity. You guys do, you pick things from us," meaning the pagan world. You take on a different mentality and you blend it in with Christianity and you think it's acceptable. Either you're Christian or you're not." And this is really alarming to hear this pagan person, pagan and also a practicing witch, to make that comment. So, is our relationships out in the world, are they reflecting that of Jesus Christ? You know, we can be pure again. Well, let me introduce you to a little bit more on Susanna. Susanna and Velasquez knew at the age of 3 that she wanted to be a performer in the entertainment business. Her maternal grandparents migrated to Kansas City from Salamanca, Mexico, in 1926 and became a big musical influence in the Mexican-American community. From there, they would birth 3 generations of musical talents, which her parents were a part of, and therefore being an influence to Susanna. Her musical theater career includes lead and supporting roles in shows such as The King and I with Shirley Jones, West Side Story, The Lone Star, 7 Brides for 7 Brothers, and A Midsummer Night's Dream. She also contributed her talents to Walt Disney World, and Universal Studios, Florida, where she had the privilege of performing with stars such as Rosemary Clooney, Smokey Robinson, Tommy Tune, Carol Lawrence, and Ben Vereen. Susanna performed as an MC and lead vocalist in the World Dancer Show at the Epcot Center, as well as portrayed the role of Pocahontas in the stage production of Pocahontas and Her Forest Friends. Let us welcome on our show Susanna.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Susanna. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure and an honor. I was saying earlier that Ruthie Munoz won't be joining us. She is taken ill.
And
so she's a flight attendant, so it's a funny thing because we already know that she will be in and out on several occasions, and tonight she was taken ill. But welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being part of it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, so how are you? How are you enjoying this wonderful rainy season?
Oh, gosh, I know. Wow, yeah, it's a little chilly. Yes, I actually had to run some errands today, too. It's like, oh, do I really want to go out and do, you know. It's, but I needed to get some Christmas stuff done. And, yeah, so I survived. It's fine. But yeah, hopefully it's going to, you know, let up here before Christmas Eve. So.
Wow. Well, as you heard the introduction, there are many who want to know about your walk with God. What inspired you, and what are your latest projects? Tell us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can just say that it actually is a calling, you know. You know, as you had said earlier, I knew what I wanted to do since I was three, you know. And when it was probably about 10 years ago, and God was really laying on my heart as far as coming to L.A. And it's just keeping that connection, you know, with what God once wanted me to do. And it was His idea that I moved to L.A. I never thought I would be living here.
I know.
You know, really.
Especially L.A.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes my brother, you know, he would say, I thought you'd, you know, end up in New York because I always loved musical theater, you know. And so, but I had exhausted everything in Florida and it was really a God thing, you know, to come here, and it was through prayer and to other people who had confirmed what God was saying to me. And, you know, I checked out the land here for 6 weeks, and, you know, what keeps me going really is being grounded, you know, grounded in the Word, and that's when you can, you know, keep that connection. And, so I can, you know, make the right decisions when it regards, you know, regarding my career and, you know, everything in my life. But you know, what kept me going as I saw what was happening here in LA, you know, where I was, even when I was just visiting for 6 weeks back in 2001, the fall of 2001, and I was meeting all kinds of Christians in Hollywood, and I was like, wow, I was shocked how many, you know, different industries there were, you know, ministries for, you know, Christians in Hollywood. And you know, just I was meeting all kinds of really wonderful people, and got an agent right away, and worked my first show. I mean, this is all in just that time period before I was even living here.
Well,
I knew,
you know, that is amazing, and I'm sorry to interject, and that's amazing because when God has His fingerprints all over it, it works. And I know people that have not been able to even get a manager or anyone to even look at them for years.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one. That's one. I think that would be considered a confirmation.
Oh yes,
that you
weren't
even living here.
Yes. And what's even more profound is that, you know, by the end of that 6 weeks, I mean, I was sitting at the Burbank Airport here, and I was just. Like trying, I was talking to God here at the airport. They, okay, you want me to move here, don't you? And that scares the heck out of me. You know, I'm here. I mean, it's exciting but scary at the same time. And it's like, if I have to move here, then that means I have to sell my house. And I really like my house. And I don't. Oh, you know, it's gonna be hard for me to have to sell that. And so, you know, I was just putting this all out there. And I specifically asked two questions. And I you know, I was asking, okay, if I'm gonna sell my house, do I sell it on my own or do I? You know, ask my friend Ron, the realtor, to sell it. You know, this is what I'm thinking. And then, where can I live? I love living in Burbank. Can I live in Burbank? You know, so this is all this conversation, you know, I was having with God. And then literally, like about a half hour later, I checked my messages at home, and there were two messages on the machine. The first one was from my friend Ron, the realtor, who never calls me. And I'm like, because he sends me postcards, you know. But he left a message saying, hey, Susan, it's Ron. I want to see how you're doing, and things are fine with me. And I just, you know, business is good. And if you know anyone who wants to sell their house, let me know. And I'm like, okay, that was really quick, Lord. And then the next message was my friend, a friend of mine who lives in Burbank. And he would say, oh, hey, Susanna, you know, I know you're thinking of moving here in January, and I want to save some money, so I'm thinking of, you know, moving with my brother. I want to know if you want to sublet my apartment. So, I mean, that freaked me out. Like, oh, my gosh, you know. I mean, yes. Isn't that talks? You know, that's pretty specific.
That's how God works. If we allow, the thing about it is, like you said something from the very beginning that really captured me. You have to be in the Word. Mm-hmm. When you're in the Word, your ears start to really listen to God when He speaks. And people say, oh, no, God doesn't speak to me this way. Well, you know, He speaks in different ways to a way that we will understand. You were speaking to Him as a little girl to her daddy, saying, okay, if you really want me to do this, I will do it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is going, okay, you're open. Let's go ahead and go for that. And 30 mm-hmm. minutes later, if I understand it correctly, Ron calls.
Yeah.
See, if somebody will sell a house, they want to sell a house, and then your friend wanted to sublet her apartment to you. It's just, like, amazing.
Yeah, it is. And then even the one last thing, too, you know how sometimes it's like we want to, like, test God one more time. It's like, are you sure? I mean, am I hearing you right? Are you sure? You know, like, kind of thing to make
the
sure.
The police outside.
Exactly,
yes.
Right. Because what I did was right when I was signing the papers, this is, like, now December 1st of 2001, and, you know, it was right before Ron was going to put up the for sale sign, and I was praying one more time. So, okay, Lord, I know you're probably tired of me asking, but I'm putting this fleece out there, and I'm like, if this is totally sure what you want me to do, I'm going to sell my house and move to L.A., and I'm asking you to bring me a buyer by Sunday. This is what I was asking God. And so, wouldn't you know, the sign went up on Saturday. Ron called me Sunday morning and said, hey, Susanna, guess what? I sold your house. The first person who saw it. Yeah. And
wow.
So I was able to close at the end of the month and start a new life in L.A. in January of 2002. Yeah. It was like a whirlwind.
God does, and see, people, I've heard personally, you know, I work in the industry as a makeup artist and special effects, and now I'm focusing more on the Christian movies. And David Massey was on our show earlier last week, and, you know, I've worked with him. I've worked on set with him. And I know that I have heard people in churches, that industry, no one should ever get into Satan's territory. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable because I have met great Christians. I mean, the first time I met you, I just, you know, because I'm the type of person, it's like I see a person, I'm like, oh, you know, I can do a really great makeup on her, or I can do screaming, you know, it's just kind of things. And people look at me like I'm weird, but I like to look at people because to me it's like they're canvases. I don't understand if people, and I don't know if people understand what I'm saying, but when I look at people, I'm like, that would be a great look with 1940s, 1920s, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yes. Uh-huh.
And
you have that visual.
I was
like,
exactly, and I'm looking at you and I'm going, oh, my goodness, 40s, okay, perfect. And then I'm like, And I saw how you were, and it was at the 168 Project, and I was casting one of the people there, and I saw how direct and focused you are. And, you know, you have to be. You have to be, because some people will take their time, and you have certain time. You need to move on. But you did it with such grace and with
well,
love.
I'm glad.
You know.
I would hope so. I know that was my concern. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to cut you off, but, you know.
Exactly, but you were focused, and, you know, I love the fact that it was all Christians. Well, not everybody that was, you know, participating are Christian, but you were, you kept it going, and your integrity. And then, I met you again the following year, and it was like, oh, my goodness, this woman really is a woman of God. And the ministry itself, it's God-sent. And so when I hear people telling me, oh, you know what, don't ever encourage anybody to get into the industry, I don't. I encourage people that are grounded in the Word to possibly use their talent for God. Now, I have seen some people that started, you know, in the right track, and suddenly they're found compromising themselves.
Yes.
And so how can you work in the industry that compromises morality? How do you do that?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I have had to turn down, you know, a couple of roles because of that, you know, because of the subject matter. And, again, it's just like just asking myself, you know, what honors God, or what would, you know, is this role something that I would want my family to see, you know, me in, that kind of thing. And so... And I know that if it's not the right thing, and, you know, God will bless me in another way, you know, I just have to, you know, turn that down. There was one time when I was living in Orlando, I was auditioning for this film that actually the role, I didn't know, I didn't get the script ahead of time. So when I got there, they told me the role I was going to be reading for, and I said, well, you know, just look it over real quick, and, you know, we'll give you some time. And I was reading over it, and the character was just really, the language, as far as, like, using Jesus' name in vain and God's name in vain, and it was kind of, you know, a little too sexual, you know, and with that character, too. And so, the biggest thing was just how God's name was used in that, too. And so I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I can't audition for this role. And he said, well, why? Because the way you use, you know, Jesus' name and God's name in vain, I just can't, you know, be a part of that. And he goes, well, what are you, a Christian or something? I said, well, yeah, I am. And then he said, well, we're finding a lot of them around here. I thought that was so funny.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my gosh. And then what's funny is that the next person that was going to be auditioning for the same role was a friend of mine. She's a Messianic Jew.
Oh, and my goodness.
Yeah, and I thought, well, yeah, you just wait until you get to the next person, you know. It's funny. But, you know, things like that, I there was another role I was offered where I would have to be, you know, there was nudity, and I turned it down. My agent was kind of upset at me, but he's like, you know, I wasn't expecting it to be like this reveal, this kind of thing, you know. And so sometimes, you know, those change, you know, you think it's one thing, and then they, you know, they kind of throw something at you, and so I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that, you know. So that was really just a couple of times I had to do that. Thank God, you know, I haven't had to, you know, had that happen again. But it is, you know, tough. But again, it's like, you know, having a strong foundation is so important, so it won't cloud your thinking. And having a great, I mean, I am so blessed to have awesome friends and an awesome church. You know, I had a great church home, you know, in Orlando. I have one here in L.A. And, you know, that is the key. You know, it really is having a strong foundation. And I take my Bible study. I just love doing Bible study fellowship. That's what I do every week. So that's something that just keeps me going.
Now, well, you know, when you read Ephesians 6, you know what we are battling against. You know, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but principalities. Mm-hmm. We know that we have to be grounded. That's what the sword is all about, the Bible. We need to be grounded in the Word. And it's like I tell people, how are you going to fight the fight if you don't know what it's all about? How do you know how to fight if you don't have, it's like, not depositing money into your account, a spiritual account, let's just put it this way, not depositing the Word into your spiritual account, so when you need to withdraw, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people need to be grounded. Another thing that I will piggyback on what you said was that before I came back to the Lord, because I left for a very long time and I mm-hmm. came back to the Lord, and I started getting into the acting, I realized they don't give you these things until you get there. And I was an extra, and I remember walking on the set. Well, they told me, oh, you're going to be a prostitute, and just behind the scenes. And, you know, I said, okay, if I use enough, since I'm an artist, I decided to look like Peggy Bundy, so nobody really knew that it was me.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they thought I was a transvestite, but that's another story. And I was like, okay, now that I finished that, I said, okay, nobody's really seeing me. I'm right behind. I'm in the crowd. They came to me and they said, you need to do a lesbian role.
Mm.
And I go, you know what? The lesser of two evils, I can actually say I've done the prostitute without being a prostitute, really.
Right.
But
right.
if my grandmother and my daughters can't watch, I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, you're not going to get paid. I go, you know what? I don't need to get paid. I need to live with myself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even grounded in the Bible, but just the thought that they do wait for the last minute to kind of change things around, I was like, no, this is not something. And I've seen a lot of girls who are Christians, and bless their heart, they're young, they want to get in, and they think if they just do that one role can actually hinder you in the negative in that arena, because now they're marking you as that. And so I tell people, be careful, because it's going to be around forever.
Right.
With me, no one really got to see me, but I would not tell anybody. You know, I wasn't a Christian at that time, but now I have had to, literally, on projects, I have had to say, you know what, I can't do this. I just can't do this.
I'm just surprised that they even said that. I mean, you being an extra, and they throw that at you, and then for them to, because you said no, for them to say, well, you're not going to pay, that's crazy. I mean, usually it's like, if you're not comfortable with that, they'll just pick someone else, you know, to do
it.
Right,
and that's the thing. And what really upset me, because what's funny, and this is another testimony, I actually looked at that person and said, you know what? I don't need you. My husband's a millionaire. I don't need you. I'm here because I wanted to. So I said, and you'll see me again. And in a year and a half time, I ended up going as an apprentice under Samuel Warren. And then they had to hire Samuel Warren for some of their shows. And I went back as a casting assistant. And they're like, don't we? And I go, excuse me, I told you I was going to come back. And it was really nice because the Lord opened up something else. And Samuel Warren, if anybody knows, he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not mess around.
I'm sorry, who is it? Who's
Samuel Warren. Yeah, Samuel Warren, a casting director in San Diego.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's a Christian, and he will not take anything that will compromise him. Hence, he's not as busy as many people, but when he does get something, it's something really big. So just keep that in mind. But, you know, it's funny because the Lord, they'll close the door here, but the Lord will open it somewhere else. And so so your faith basically has helped you.
Oh,
is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, yes, yes, just persevering that. And you know, again, having the support of, you know, family and friends and all that. Even though, you know, my parents, they would always, you know, worry about me. You know, even like I've been in this industry so long, they still say, you know, are you sure you want to keep doing this or something? Like, yes, Mom. You know, I know it has its ups and downs and stuff, but I've been able to do what I love to do, you know, and this is what I'm created to do. And so, but they were always been there. Any, like, show I've done, like when I was performing live on stage, they'd always be there in the first row. I mean, they're always, you know, very supportive, you know, when I was growing up with all the shows that I did and everything. So that was very helpful, you know, to me. So, you know, to have that also. You know, because I was raised, because they were so musical, and I was raised with all the, watching old musicals growing up. So
yes.
On TV.
The best musicals.
Yes.
Were from, like, Fred Astaire's, and I'm just the older, the better.
Oh, yes.
And you know, and then also, if you look, I mean, for me, it was the Mexican cinema, because they have Pedro Infante, Cantinflas. I love Cantinflas. As a matter of fact, we were watching him on Thanksgiving because they had a whole entire, you know, when they play all his movies for that day.
Yeah.
It was so amazing because it's like, oh my goodness, he had it on cue. He was just on.
Yeah.
On, and they don't make them like they used to. Okay.
Right.
The talent out there is great. It's good. Not great. It's good. But you know, that's what I was raised with, and of course I hear that in it. And you're also disciplined in theater. That is a big discipline. Tell me about your theater.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess you can see my first professional performing job was when I was 18, performing, singing and dancing at World of Fun Theme Park in Kansas City. I did that for 3 summers.
Wow.
I was going to college, so I would do that during the summers, and that was just so much fun. And then, I just always loved theater and doing, it was probably about like 85, actually, back then when I had did some theater in Galveston, Texas there, the Mary Moody Amphitheater. It's a huge amphitheater there, and I got to do The Lone Star and Hello, Dolly. And those summer stock is so fun, so I always enjoy doing that, you know, because you're rehearsing different shows, you know, putting on different shows. And then from there, right after that is when I got hired by Disney in 86, so, you know, and you know, doing dinner theater, I just loved it. I mean, I was like this workaholic. I would be doing working at Epcot Center, singing and dancing, you know, World Dancers. We did 4 shows a day, 5 days a week, okay? I mean, I had 2 days off a week. But 4 shows a day, they were 30-minute shows, and we're outdoors, so we're in the elements. You know, sometimes it could be hot. And I would do that. And then in the evening, I did this for like 6 weeks. After I did my shows at Disney, I would go do, I was cast as Tup Tim in The King and I, Martu Dinner Theater. So I would be doing all my shows during the day and then go and do a dinner show in the evening. Can you? I was like, I can't believe I did that. Now I look back on it. Man, I had so much energy.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, because, you know, there's also the mental process.
Yeah.
As when you're in front of the theater, you know, you're in theater, because I did theater and I did limited theater, and I just couldn't handle it. I just was just like, okay, that's just too much concentration. Other things, you know, where I can be myself, but especially, you know, the Midsummer Night's Dream. When I first saw a real action live theater work was the Midsummer Night's Dream with Keith David. He has that voice, you know, that sounds like mm-hmm. God, and
yeah.
I mean, it's like, it was wonderful. However, there's a lot of discipline there, and there's understudies, and then there's this, and then there's that. I'm like, oh, you know, I did a play
mm-hmm.
taking place in the early 1800s, and I had my nail polish on, and my it was like, no, you need to be in character.
Uh-huh.
And of
no
course,
nail
the reviews. Exactly, the reviews were not the positive. I'm like, and this is just too much for me. So it's a lot of discipline.
It is. That's why, you know, transitioning to film, and it's like, you know, hey, I like this film, because you have more than just one chance. I mean, that's the thing. You can do it over. It's like, you know, multiple takes until you get it right. And like with stage, it's like if you mess up, well, you just keep going. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't. You just keep going. But the thing I would love is doing a movie musical. That's the thing, is marrying the two, you know, film and theater. You know, I would love to be in a movie musical. That's one of my goals.
Now, you know, that's what I was going to ask you about your goals. What are your goals? So you want to go ahead and go into musical
mm-hmm.
movies and vice versa. Is that coming back again?
It seems like it has. I mean, it's kind of been on a roll the last few years here with, you know, starting like Moulin Rouge, you know, and then you had Chicago and Dreamgirls
and
Hairspray.
Enchanted.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of great ones. And so it's like, oh, I would love to do this. And but so that is, you know, one of my goals. And the thing, too, is just to, keep auditioning and I'm looking for a manager. So right now,
okay.
So, yeah, to really help me.
We'll be putting that in prayer here. Let me put this in prayer here. Manager. Okay.
Yes, I could use prayer on that, because even though I have a commercial agent, a theatrical agent, it's just, I mean, I go out commercially a lot, which is great, but I really need a manager to help in focusing in the things that I'm trying to accomplish and helping my, you know, and guiding my career, and that is like doing Christian films, and like a movie musical would be great, and just really some good roles, and doing more film, and I've been able to do some TV, which is great, you know, but you know, it'd be even better to be a series regular on a television show, you know. But film, I mean, actually, so one of the things, a couple of things is like, you know, like I said, is the Christian films. I'd like to do more of those, because I haven't been, you know, except for 168, I haven't really been able to do, you know, other Christian projects.
Tell us more a little bit about 168, if you can.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I have been with 168 now for the last, six seasons. I believe it was six. Yeah, it's been around for eight. So this coming year, this is the ninth year going into it. You know, it all starts basically in January with the different mixers that they have. So basically, this is a speech filmmaking competition, which is global, and so we have entries from all over the world. I mean, like teams that want to make a film, and they're all based on Bible verses that are randomly chosen. And so, you know, they don't know what kind of verse they're going to get until it's picked, you know. And so once the verse is chosen, then they have basically like 3 or 4 days to write the script, and then we have casting day, which I coordinate. bring all the actors in. We actually had 1,000 headshot submissions last year through Actors
Wow.
Office. Wow. Yeah, online. And that was crazy, trying to go through all those. I'm like, wow. It's like so many. I was floored because I explained to her what it is that so many people want to do this. I really am, you know, because it's speed filmmaking competition based on Bible verses, you know. And so when, you know, after casting day and then there's production, they have from Friday to Friday basically to shoot and get their film turned in, and then we have the festival in the spring where every film is shown. So we usually have about, you know, 70 to 75 films that are completed, which is amazing. There's already currently, from what I was told, around 50 teams that have already registered. Already, you know, and so there'll be more, I'm sure. So it's incredible how these films turn out for such a limited time. And the thing with 168 is that, you know, John Ware is the founder, and he is really, his vision is to really equip Christian filmmakers, you know, and helping them hone their skills. And so that's why they offer workshops and, you know, and helping to how to shoot a film, short film from A to Z, you know, and meeting other people in the industry. Ralph Winters on our board of directors, you know, who's the executive producer of all the X-Men movies and Fantastic
Right.
Four. So, yeah, it's amazing how, you know, when the top 20 films get to be, you know, judged by these industry professionals. So, you know, I've really enjoyed, you know, the process, seeing how the stories that have come out of 168 with the different filmmakers and how the process just affected their life in an amazing way, and usually their relationship with God, whether they were struggling with something and God was dealing with them, or where they were encouraged, or people getting saved through the process. You know, that's what's phenomenal, is just hearing those stories. I really like, you know, hearing those.
So if I wanted to see a movie with you in it, where would I go and see it in from the 168 Project, or either any movie from the 168 Project? How would I, or how would somebody that says, you know what, I would like to invest some money on this, or I would like possibly be part of this
okay.
next year.
Well,
how do they do?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, they can go to 168project.com,
mm-hmm.
to that website, 168project.com, and all the information is on there as far as the dates of the mixers, how to get involved, you know, submissions for, you know, casting day, you know, if they want to audition, or how they want to get on a crew, you know, a team. That kind of thing, it's all on there. And also the films from each year, the top 20 films from past years are on DVD, so they can be purchased on the website too. The film that, one of the films that I'm in, Temp for All Seasons, that won Best Film in 2005. So
wow.
That is on the 2005 compilation there, so they can actually see that. And when they go online, too, there are a couple of short films. I think The Audition is on there, is what is the name of the film. You know, that was nominated for several awards. And I think there's one other one, but you can actually watch them, you know, right there. So they can get an idea. Because there's so many different types that are produced. You have, you know, comedy, drama, sci-fi, westerns, a musical. It was so cool to see this musical short film. I mean, it was amazing, and that actually won, I think, best film that year too. And so you can have all kinds of styles, you know, thrillers, like that kind of thing. And so definitely, it's you know, they can get involved. As someone who is interested, let's go on the website, and also they can register their email address on the website. So if they want to you know, the updated newsletters, like, you know, what's going on with 168 and all that, so they can keep on top of everything that's coming up.
Okay, wow. Hey, there's a lot. You're doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You really are doing your...
Yeah, it's like I'm a jack of all trades here, because, you know, I have my you know, my acting career, and then I, you know, seasonally I do the casting coordinating with 168, and then, you know, we, you know, being in the industry, you always have to do different things, you really do.
Yes.
And then I do some trade shows also. I do that, and which company, you basically, you know, help clients, they hire, the company I work with hires actors and models to work with their clients, you know, for presentations or, you know, demoing whatever their product is, that kind of thing. And then I also have my own wellness business. So it's like, I have my hands in different things. I'm never bored.
That's why you're so focused and so grounded, because I, you know, I see you in action and it's like this, and I'm like, wow, oh, okay, she really knows what she's doing. And that's also a blessing, and I think that's also a gift. Not many people have that gift. I'm not going to say that I do or I don't. My grandmother will answer that very quickly, and I wouldn't like her response. But I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
would a young person who's listening to you, what would you suggest to that person that wants to get into this industry? And it's not for everybody. How would they know?
Right. Well, first of all, just like I said before, I think they really need to pray about what God wants to do with them and, you know, do through them. And that is using whatever their gifts and talents are, whatever they have. I mean, God has given them that desire and those talents, then definitely use them. But just ask, okay, how is it I can use this? And if it is, you know, coming to Hollywood, you know, pursuing that avenue, like say if it's, you know, for an acting career in film and television, they definitely need to, you know, make sure that they actually have a savings coming here for one thing. Oh, my gosh, because it is much more expensive to live here. Excuse me. And so, you know, that's just, you know, logistically, logically speaking, that's something definitely important, you know, to have that in line. And then also it's just you know, being connected, like before coming here, there's ways to connect with other, you know, Christians that for like a support through different organizations that help with people like kind of making the transition over here a little easier, like through HollywoodConnect.com. That's a resourceful website, you know, which you can get, you can see like anything from housing to like what churches are great churches to go to, you know, different classes, workshops, different, you know, so it's all kinds of things that are, and it's all in this Christian ministry, you know, organization. So that's, you know, one of the things they can do. I think I would actually do what I did is like just visit, you know, I think just checking out the land and seeing, you know, if this is something that you would, you know, they would want to do, and if this is, you know, what God's calling them to do. And because, you know, it, you know, person with talents and gifts doesn't necessarily have to come to L.A. They can, depending on wherever they're at, can do so much with their giftings in the arts, you know. So that's another thing to, you know, to ask. And I really believe, I really think that, you know, to get some support through your church, hopefully, I wish that more churches would really be more involved with people in the arts, because in encouraging them and equipping them, because you know, coming like to LA, this is a mission field. So I think, you know, they have to. Some churches don't really understand them. They think just the mission field is, you know, in Africa or, you know, in
exactly.
China or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. which is great that we have missionaries in those areas. But it's also, you know, in
our
LA,
backyard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in our backyard and, yeah, wherever that, you know, a person may live right there. But that's the other thing is I think to have that kind of support system through their church and saying, look, this is what I, you know, I feel, believe I'm, God's calling me to do. I'm going to come to LA and I really, you know, would love support, prayer support, or, you know, just having a group that can help you, you know, with the transition or whatever, however that is, you know. So, so those are the things that, you know, I would really, you know, have a person think about and pray about?
Well, Susanna, you gave me so much information, and I'm just thankful that you decided to stop by and give us a call and let us know. And briefly, Susanna, what other things that you might want to say to whoever's listening, or anything that you might be inspired to say to anyone that's listening out there, briefly, that is just basically having that hard time in church, telling them, no, don't do it, yet God is saying do it. I mean, what would you, briefly, tell us, what do you think?
Oh, well, gosh, I mean, not to give up. I mean, if you really believe that, you know, this is what God's called you to do, and it's really a burning, a passion and desire, then to pursue that, you know, and continue with that connection with God. And it's like, okay, what do I need to do? Because I know sometimes there would be people that say, you know, because they don't understand. They can't understand it because that is not their gifting, or they're not, you know, some people are just so used to having a 9-to-5 job, you know. I mean, they look at security, you know, they do. They just see, oh, well, I just want to have this job because it's a secure job. You know, nothing is secure. I mean, so many people lose their jobs. But the thing is, if you're in God's will, I mean, he's going to open the doors and just to keep moving. I mean, gosh, I would, if that was the case and I had that kind of mentality, I'd never be doing what I'm doing, you know. And so that's the thing, is just to stay focused and continue in that communication with God and what you're doing, and, you know, go for it. You know, and just, you know, just making wise decisions and you know, keep following your dream. You know, that's because, you know, God has given those desires, you know. And I think one thing I would like to say is that a comment, I just thought of this, that someone, I actually worked on NYPD Blue the last season 13. I was actually a stand-in on that, full-time stand-in for Detective Ortiz, for that character, for Jacqueline Obradors. And really liked working on that show. And there was a guy there, New York, this guy that was from New York, that was a stand-in there. And he worked that show for like 13 years. And he would give me a hard time. He was just like, he was an older guy who was so funny. And he knew I was a Christian, and he teased me and stuff. But he said, Susanna, you know, you're going to make it in this business. And you know why? Because you have perseverance. And I was like, wow. And this guy, he wasn't even a Christian. You know, he was just, you know, I just, really, because I would, you know, share with him and witness to him. And he, you know, it's for him to say that was really, really cool. And that's true. It's really perseverance.
And that's amazing. People don't remember those kind of things. Oh, they do, but they allow other things to get in the way. And they don't throw in the towel. Well, I just want to tell you, Susanna, thank you for being a Christian in Hollywood and showing others that Jesus Christ does exist, that we are all here to use our talents for his glory, not for our own. So thank you so much for joining us this evening. And
sure.
I'm going to pray for you for your new manager. And,
yes, thank you, thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you on this big screen. And saying, hey, you know what? That really is a woman of integrity.
Thank you. Yes, keep praying for that. I will continue on that road. Yes.
Well, thank you. Have a wonderful and a blessed Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Well, we had her, Susanna Velasquez. She's awesome, amazing. You're going to be seeing a lot of her. So I'm praying and I'm claiming it for her, and we know that through Christ all things are possible. Everyone have a good night, and God bless.
Community Resources. UCE, Urban Christian Entertainment, is movies that matter. We all know that our youth are confronted with many issues. Are you looking for ways to reach out to your youth this year? Then UCE is for you. They offer contemporary stories and confront real issues that young people face in today's society. Churches who want to make a difference with their youth will benefit each quarter with a short film and a study guide. Order today. The first year of movies will tackle difficult social issues in an entertaining yet thought-provoking manner. UCE Movies That Matter provide Christian alternatives to the complex and often destructive choices that confront young people today. Don't wait. Order your set today. For more information on UCE, please call 818-809-3567. Once again, 818-809-3567. Or visit their website at www.ucemoviesthatmatter.com. Because your youth are worth it. Thoughts to consider. Whether or not Christmas really falls on December, the fact of the matter is that Christ was born in a manger over 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, Christmas has been so commercialized, and the true reason for the season has been compromised. Please take this holiday season to reflect on your spiritual life. If you wish to achieve a true reborn identity, seek counsel from your pastor, preacher, or teacher. The reason Christ came to earth is so that we experience His character, His blessings, and His soon return. Take this holiday season and reach out to those who are hurting, those who have no families, and those who need to be forgiven. Christ is and always will be the reason for all seasons. God bless and Merry Christmas. The Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by the following sponsors. Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company. Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business. Palo Enterprises, a professional services company, serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services. And Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice.